Lord, we thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the first School of Miracles this year. Thank you for the opportunity, the privilege. Thank you for all the School of Miracles services last year. And thank you for the awesome deeds you did. Thank you. Thank you for the miracles that you did. And indeed, the miracles you did through us. Hallelujah. Thank you, because tonight you set the stage for a wonderful 2024. You set the stage for a miraculous 2024. You set the stage for miracles, signs, and wonders to follow us throughout this year. In the name of Jesus, we give you all the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Go to John chapter 1. I'm actually concerned tonight about time. Go to John chapter 1. Let's see what God will do. I did send something on the group early, I think on Monday. Monday was the first. And I said, the year of steadfastness. I'm not one to usually write the year of something. And in fact, some people have wondered, why do some people say it's the year of this, another one says the year of that. It's just about revelation knowledge. Amen. What is God revealing? Sometimes the year of whatever it is what God is saying to you as a person. There are things that God was saying to me as a person about this year that I expect. But beyond that, on the first, I took a walk, which I like to do very often. And it's actually, most of the time, it's part of my prayer time. As I take the walk, it's a time of communion. And I get to, have an exchange with God. And as I did, I heard him say it's a year of steadfastness. And I knew that was not just for me. I knew that was for everybody. And that's why I shared that one. I didn't share everything else he had been saying, because those were for me. Amen. But he said a year of steadfastness, and I couldn't wait to get back, to the house to check what he was saying. And that was particularly anchored on 1 Corinthians 15:58. I'll probably still repeat myself a bit on Sunday. You know, it talks about, therefore be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as long as you know that your service is not in vain, okay? But the key word is steadfast. Can I hear it say steadfast? And I felt God was saying that there will be many challenges. Okay, there will be many challenges. So I know we like to hear the good things, isn't it? We like to hear it's a year of glory, the year of greater glory, the year of abundance. It's all of those things. Can I have an amen? But God is saying you need to be steadfast. That means it's a year where you need to build consistency. Okay, where you need to know that, okay, this is my walk with God, and I'm not going to be shaken. You know, nothing will shake me. It doesn't matter what I face, when things are going the way I expect, when they are not going the way I expect. This is the year God is depending on you to build that steadfastness, being immovable, that this person, this one, if it's devotion, I know that she will always be devoted. She will always spend time with me as she has planned to. Oh, if it's the confession of faith, I know that this person will always stick with the confession of faith and will not change it, no matter what the face. You know, and at the end of the day, there's guaranteed victory. Can I have an amen? But that victory starts with what? Building steadfastness and ensuring that you are a steadfast, a consistent person, someone that can't be shaken by the things around us. Hallelujah. Please go with me to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. And tonight, like we've said severally, is the first School of Miracles for 2024. School of Miracles is where we talk about faith, we talk about miracles, we talk about signs and wonders. We talk about them at other services. It's not as if that those things are never discussed any other time. But even beyond that also, there's also the guaranteed or the guarantee that we'll pray for the sick, okay, in the School of Miracles. So we build our faith around the supernatural in the School of Miracles, somebody said you will have to listen to certain things repeatedly and regularly. You know, you'll have to hear about faith regularly. You'll have to hear about miracles regularly. You'll have to hear about divine healing regularly. He said, because you may not need it now, but you will need it someday, either for yourself or for a loved one. Are you still there? So you'll have to consistently, build your faith along some of those lines. And if you wait for war to learn how to shoot your gun, then you are too late. Okay, so we prepare for war in the time of peace. We prepare for war in the time of peace. We prepare for it when things are calm, everything is smooth. That's when the soldiers train. Amen. If you have soldiers that have been trained during war, they become nothing but a ragtag army. So when Russia went to war with Ukraine, and they thought the war would be over in 1 week or maybe at most a month, and the war was dragging on, and a lot of Russian soldiers were being killed. They went to grab people. You know, Russian young men were being marched into the forefront. Prisoners were being taken and made into soldiers. And what that meant was that they would get maybe a week of training, and then they'll be thrown to the war front. And many of them were being killed like rats, because if you face an experienced, well-trained soldier, and you got 1 week, 2 weeks training, to go to the battlefront, the likelihood is that the guy is going to kill you. So maybe for every one Ukrainian experienced soldier they kill, about 20 to 30 Russian ragtag soldiers will die. But I guess the tactic was to flood the place with as many people as possible. Are you still there? Okay, so the whole essence of all of that is to say what? We prepare for war in the time of peace. So you ensure that you know what to do. You ensure that you know how God's word works. The Bible says in Psalm 107, it said the children of Israel knew the hand of God, but Moses knew the ways of God. So Moses understood the ways, meaning that Moses knew how to get God to do what God said he would do. Moses knew how God operated, but the children of Israel only understood the hand. They only understood the miraculous. God did miracle. But how did he do the miracle? They do not know. Okay, so I was saying to somebody many years ago who had prayed for and was healed of fibroids, and she was telling me how she had been healed, but it kept coming back. And I said that what she was having were faith accidents. You know, so somewhere along the line, whether her faith was just stirred up suddenly by something or someone who taught God's word and she would get healed. Or somebody who had the gifts of healings and manifestation and he would get healed. But she didn't know how to keep it because she didn't know how to get it in the first place. Are you still there? Because if you knew how to get it, then she would know also how to keep it. Are you with me? Tonight I want to speak and teach actually on what I titled The Source is the Sustenance. The source is the sustenance. I assume that many of us have started to read the Bible again afresh this year. And I'm hoping that at the end of this year, we'll have many people now who will say, yes, I read the Bible from Pali to Pali. I went from Genesis to Revelation. I finished everything. Okay? And one of the things you'll see is the creation story. Okay? And what's striking for me in all of that is to see where everything came from. Okay, that's Genesis 1, but John 1 is what we're going to read. But Genesis 1, one of the most fascinating things or scriptures or lines that I find, and that's amazing about the Bible, is Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. What does it say? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And many years ago, I was studying and I was fascinated by the word created. Just the word created. And I was looking it up in the Hebrew and all of that. And that word created means to make something out of nothing. It says, so in the beginning, God made something out of nothing. What was the something he made? The heavens and the earth. Everything we can see. He made it out of nothing. But that's not exactly so, because when you now go deep down in the scriptures and you look and you read, even in Genesis, as you continue to read Genesis, you discover that it wasn't exactly nothing, but he made something out of nothing tangible. Are you following me? So he made something out of nothing. He made the heavens and the earth out of nothing. That's what the word created means. But it's not really nothing. It's that he made it out of nothing tangible. There were no bricks and mortar. There was no cement. There was no clay. There was, you know, what else? He didn't use any nails. He didn't use any wood. But he created everything he created. So what did he use to create it? The Bible says, and God said. Are you with me? Can I hear you say, God said? So what God did in creating something out of nothing was that the only raw material that God used was his words. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's the word of God that is the raw material. I'm jumping ahead of myself. Hear this. The source is the sustenance, means that the raw material from which it was made is what you will use to remake it or recreate it or repair it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That whatever you made it with in the first place is, I'm talking about anything now in abstract, okay? Whatever I used to make something, so if I decided I was an artist or I was a creative artist of sorts, and I decided to make a sculpture, you know what a sculpture is? You know, so I decided to make, not a ray, because a ray now people will be thinking of one small god somewhere. But I make a statue, okay? And you like that statue. If for some reason the statue was maybe the statue of a person and the hand of that statue broke off, what will I use to make a new hand? Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's whatever I used in the first place to make the statue that I will go back to use to make a new hand for that statue. That's what I'm talking about. But the source of that thing becomes the sustenance of the thing. Are you with me tonight? So if the source of everything is God's word, the sustenance of everything lies in God's word. Everything, be it a body part, be it whatever you might need on earth, some provision, I need money, I need land, I need this, I need that. If what created it in the first place was God's word, all you need in order to recreate it, repair it, remake it, is God's word. Are you with me? John chapter 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things, can I hear you say all things? He said all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. Can I hear you say without him? Nothing was made that was made. It means that, forget it. No story here. Forget it. There's nothing that was created outside of God's word. Now, don't be confused. You use him and all that, because we know that Jesus is God's word. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I mean, again, I'm saying all that in case you are a beginner. Okay? So there's what we call the Trinity. We say God is three in one. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. So if you read the creation story, which I encourage you to start reading now as we start the year, then you find out that God says what? He says in the beginning, God said, let us make. Who is the us? How come he's speaking in plural? Because they are three in one. Okay? And yet we knew that God said, God was the one speaking. So we knew that he says what? The Spirit of the Lord, the heart was void and without form. He says, and the Spirit of the Lord was brooding over the earth. So we have seen two personalities, one God. Two, we have seen the Spirit. And where is the third person? He said, and he said. So the three walked together to make it. Are you with me? Okay, so it says in him, it says all things were made. And that's the key verse I want you to take note of. All things were made through him. And without him was nothing. Nothing. Nothing made that was made. Without him was nothing made that was made. He said, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. I have a few text references that I want to take us through. But while I'm reading verse 3, when it says, in him was the life, and the life was the light of men, it says, and what the darkness, the light shined in darkness, and darkness could not hold it back. One says that darkness could not resist it. What am I saying? When God was saying, you know, we give the devil status bigger than what he has. Okay? He says that word created all things. Without that word was nothing made that was made. He said in that word is light, and darkness can't resist that light. So when you get in God's word and light comes, it doesn't matter what force of darkness is against you, it cannot resist the light that you have received. It's a matter of time. That darkness has to fizzle out. Are you still here? I remember a pastor was saying, he said, one day God asked him, he said, where was the devil when I created the heavens and the earth? Where was the devil when I said, let there be, and there was? Why didn't he stop it? Are you with me? Why didn't he stop it? Because he can't. Are you hearing what I'm saying? In him was the light, and the light was it was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines. I like the present continuous that he uses. He said the light shines. It means that it used to shine. It is still shining. It will continue to shine. And darkness could not stop it then, cannot stop it now, will never be able to stop it in the future. Are you with me? You know when they say, don't give us fish. Teach us how to fish. I'm teaching you how to fish. Are you hearing me? I'm telling you how to get your miracle by yourself all of the time. How you don't need. Yeah, there are many things that God does, gifts of healings and all of that. Many things can come into manifestation, and they do. But we don't have to wait for them. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We don't have to wait for any of those things. If we will walk God's word out of understanding, then it will work for us all the time. Hallelujah. Are you still there? So go to Colossians chapter 1. Or go to Hebrews. Go to Hebrews first. Go to Hebrews chapter 1. Or Hebrews 11. I was trying to speed because of time. Go to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. So remember what I'm saying. We're taking it all, the creation story basically, but not from Genesis. We're taking it from the New Testament. And it says in Hebrews 11 and verse 3, it said, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Remember what I said? In the beginning, God created, made something out of nothing. The nothing is not exactly nothing, but it's nothing tangible. So when people, you know, so when, for instance, I was just remembering, when Dami says, she sends a message, you know, and says, I believe I will die tonight. I'm afraid that I will not make it till tomorrow morning. Actually, you know what first crossed my mind? She saw me that night. She greeted me. She was running about, and she had a tape reel in her hand. So I first laughed when she sent the message. I first laughed to myself. I said she believed she was going to die that night, but she was carrying tape reel to measure people. You know, but I knew she was very serious about it. And as I just thought about it, and what came out was, he has delivered all those who were bound. Hebrews chapter 2. You know, all their years bound by the fear of death. Hebrews 2:14, I believe. And that's what came out. And I thought, okay, that's God's word. So I just sent her a message and I said, you will not die yet. Okay, so what did she say? I'm sorry, she said. She just thought, is that all? I thought he will call. You know, I thought he will pray. No. Because the words were framed by the word of God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's all you need. That's all you need. You don't need anything more. So if that word, once that word comes and I could get that word that, he has delivered all those who are bound by the fear of death, that's the end of the matter. So there's no need. If we pray at all, we will thank God for what he said. Are you following what I'm saying? If we must pray at all, it's just to thank God and say, God, thank you for Hebrews chapter 2:14. Thank you for what you have already done. Are you following what I'm saying? So Hebrews 11:3 says, by faith we understand that the words were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. We get a bit of that. The word words there is the word that means dispensations. Okay? But it doesn't take away from the physical creation, because it tells us that the things which are seen, so that the things that are seen are not made from the things that are visible. Okay? But what it's telling us is that, you know, dispensation is like you can have a dispensation of abundance. Where it looks like money just doesn't finish in your pocket. You're just having money. Then all of a sudden you have a dispensation of lack, where you are having more months at the end of your money. The money finishes and the next money you can imagine is coming your way is far away. And you're thinking, my money finished very quickly this month. Oh. That's a dispensation. And then that's happening frequently. That's a dispensation. However, the Bible is saying here that whatever you think of it, even the dispensations, they are affected by the things that are visible, and all of that is controlled and created by the word of God. Are you with me? So I create the dispensation of my life by the word of God. I create it by speaking what God's word says. You know, I was thinking about how, so Mrs. Sarge's testimony is just right on point for tonight, isn't it? You know, when it says, I looked and I thought it was Wicklow. You know what I was also thinking? And you were enjoying it. As it was swelling small, and it was slightly painful, you'll be enjoying it. I know many of you have done it before, isn't it? Then something is just swelling, then you'll be playing with it. You'll be touching it and be playing with it. You are just enjoying it. It's paining you small, but not too much. It's not paining too much. You'll be playing with it. You'll be playing with it until the day it becomes extremely painful. When it has grown and become very painful, that's the day you now be, hey, Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. But you were playing with it before. And you were calling it Wicklow. Before it even became full grown, you were playing with it and say, Wicklow. It looks like Wicklow. It looks like I'm going to have Wicklow. This is my Wicklow that comes usually every year. You know. You know what I'm talking about, isn't it? So, what are you doing? You are creating a dispensation. So, even what has not happened, we create it. Sometimes by what we are saying. Have you found people who say, every Amatan? Amatan, it doesn't fit my body at all. Every Amatan, I must have one terrible fever like that. They are creating it. Are you still with me? So, but the same way that the worlds were created is how we create our world. Go to Colossians chapter 1. But what's my topic for today again? Huh? The source is the sustenance. I need to remind you that. And that's to say that if everything was created by God's word, then what sustains everything, what remakes everything, what recreates everything, what repairs everything, is God's word. That's the raw material you need to make it all what you want it to be. Colossians chapter 1 is a long read. We're going to read from verse 9. He said, for this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Verse 10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us. Let somebody say he has delivered us. Please, not the past tense. He has delivered us. Hallelujah. And somebody say, are you going to do deliverance? Yes, but based on Colossians 1:13, that he has delivered you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If it's not founded on Colossians 1:13, that it has already been done, we are just enforcers of anything that we are doing now. If we are just trying to deliver you, if Jesus didn't succeed, we can't succeed. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So the only reason why we can command a devil, we can break a curse, we can do whatever, is because he already did it. And that is what you must know and believe and accept. If you don't accept that one, the deliverance will always be in the future. That's deliverance 101. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Is the image of the invisible God. We're getting to where I'm going now. Is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. So I read all that for context. He said, for by him, verse 16, for by him all things were created. Can I hear you say all things were created? Please say it again. Say by him. Say by the word of God. All things were created. Say the source is the sustenance. Say it again. Say, for by him all things were created. Good. It says that are in heaven and that are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. So I'm reading this one because it expatiates on what that creation entails. This one expands it a lot more. It says, whether you are talking of things in heaven or not, whether you are talking of things we can see or things we can't see, they were all created by the word of God. It says, including, even plus including. How many people remember Chief Zebudiah? That's his English. He says, even plus including. Can I hear it? Even plus including. Even plus including principalities and powers. That's what I wanted you to see. The expansion. But even the principalities and powers, everything were created by the word of God. He said, and they were created for him, and in him all things consist. That word means all things hold together. Are you with me? Everything is held together by God's word. If you take God's word out of the system and out of the earth, things fall apart. Are you with me, anybody? The only thing holding everything. So even when people start talking, hey, all this, we see church everywhere, church everywhere, but everything is scatter. I say, you haven't seen scatter. Let there be no church. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When there is none, you will know the definition of scatter. I mean, how did Idris say it? Eh? Nigeria scatter, are we? Everything jaga, you will know jaga, remove church. Then you say, oh my God, we thought we knew jaga, this is real jaga. And if you read 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, you know what I'm saying. The Bible says that the Antichrist is being held back because of the church. When the church is taken away, he said the son of perdition will be revealed. Then you will know. Are you with me? Okay, so what is the is equal to of what I'm saying to you tonight? Is that you will need to speak God's word deliberately. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God's word has to be in you and has to come out of your mouth deliberately. You'll have to be speaking God's word deliberately, intentionally, because you are trying to create things. I think it was Copeland who said God told him that God's word in my mouth, in your mouth, is like God's word in my mouth. God's word in your mouth is like God's word in God's mouth. Because it's the word. The word, the Bible says that the word of God itself is living and powerful. So when you take it and you speak it, things begin to happen. Are you hearing me? On one hand, we even know that angels hearken to the voice of his word. The voice of his word. What does that mean? It means that that word has to be voiced. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It has to be spoken. Is that Psalm 107, 20, or which one is that? You didn't find it, huh? 103. No. He said, the angels hearken to the voice. So when you speak that word, the angels get to work in order to make the word of God come to pass. Are you with me? 103:20. Are you still there, anybody? So you have to be intentional about it. That's why Paul was also telling us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, isn't it, 17, 18, he said, the things that we face, we do not despair because of the things we face. He said, why? Because the things we face are temporary and working for us a far greater weight of glory. Another translation says they are temporary. The things that we go through are temporary and subject to change. So the things we see, he said, whatever we go through, we do not despair because they work for us a far greater weight of glory. While we look not at the things, we don't ever keep our eyes on the things that are seen. That's verse 18. We don't keep our eyes on the things that are seen. He said, but we look at the things that are not seen. Excuse me, sir. How do you look at what is not seen? Are you hearing me? What is he talking about? We don't look at what we see. We look at what we don't see. What are you talking about? We look at God's word. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He said, because the things that you see, no matter how you see them and they are looking at you korokoro in the eye, the situation is there, it is glaring, it is terrible, it is disturbing, it's not going away, it looks like it will destroy your life. He said those things are temporary. And one translation has, it says, and subject to change by the things that are not seen. Are you there? Okay, so three things. Number one, so walking in miracles, okay, this is what I'm talking about now. If you walk in miracles, it demands intentional speaking. Intentional speaking. So for you to walk in miracles, you'll have to speak intentionally. You know, when we talk about confessions, there are two dimensions to it. One dimension is that I avoid saying the wrong things. Okay? So I avoid saying the wrong things. I control my tongue. James 2 talks about that. I control my tongue. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12. If you will enjoy life and see good days, then you must refrain or restrain your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking guile or deceit. Okay, so one aspect of it is that I do not say the things that are wrong. So I do not say it's weak low. Okay, I don't say the things that are wrong. I avoid it. I avoid it as much as I can. That I'm not going to say this. I'm not going to say this. And don't be the one that wants to make people to say it. You know what I'm talking about? You know the people that are always diagnosticians? You have a cold, Abby? And I said, I'm all right. I say, you have a cold now. Don't you have a cold? He said, no, I'm okay. I'm resting. But you have a cold. Don't you have a cold? He said, my friend, what's your... What's your problem? Are you a doctor or a nurse? Why are you insisting on hearing me confess that I have a cold? So don't be that quack nurse or quack doctor. Can I have an amen? But one aspect of confessions is not saying the wrong thing. But there's another aspect, which is the one that Paul speaks about, 2 Corinthians 4:13, about the spirit of faith. He said, just like them, they believed and therefore they spoke. He said, we also believe and therefore we speak. So because we believe, we speak. Believing must result in speaking. Believing must result in speaking. So one side is I'm not speaking the wrong thing, but another side is that I deliberately speak certain things. Are you with me? Have you discovered that that works? Because that's how God created everything. Have you discovered that in virtually every realm, that is operational? So when you see a juju man, what does he do? Incantations. He's speaking. Because everybody understands that this is how the world was created. Are you hearing me? The only difference is that when you begin to speak God's word, he said it shines like light in darkness. And darkness can't withstand it. Are you there? So years ago, I was driving on the road. And you have road rage. So in road rage, I don't know. I don't even know what happened. But the man was very upset. And he must have belonged to something or be something. And then because we're side by side, and then he was speaking to me, he said, and when I curse you now, they will say we are wicked. I said, go ahead. But when I say my own, then you know that power pass power. You will say yours, but if I say mine, if I decide to say my own, I only put it that way because God had corrected me when I dealt with man pass that I should be careful what I say, okay? Are you there? Don't worry. Somebody saying man pass. What's he talking about? Don't worry. That's a story for another day if you haven't heard it before. Hallelujah. So walking in miracles would demand intentional speaking. Okay? And that means that you intentionally create and decide to create your world with your words. Okay? And in that regard, number one, let me say to you that believing is not enough. Believing alone is not enough. That means that when you believe. I believe, and you just keep quiet. It's not enough. Faith is voice activated. Faith is what? Voice activated. You will have to say something. James chapter 2. Let's look at this very quickly. James chapter 2. And I think God is really helping me tonight. James chapter 2. It's gone much faster than I thought. Hallelujah. Are you there? It says in verse 17, does also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Okay, so the word works there means corresponding action. If there's no action that corresponds to what you believe, it said it's dead, unproductive. Okay, verse 18, it said, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. This is what I want you to see, verse 19. It said, you believe that there's one God, you do well. Even the demons do what? Believe and tremble. But guess what? They are not saved. Abi? So he's saying, look, just believe. Yeah, I believe. He said, okay, but even the demons believe and even tremble. But there's no corresponding action to that belief. What is the corresponding action? If you read, we won't look at it, but if you look at 1 John chapter 4, it said, beloved, test every spirit. Any spirit that does not believe that Jesus or that does not confess that Jesus has come in the flesh is not the spirit of God. So what they do is they believe, but they will not confess it. They will not confess him as Lord. They will not confess him as having come and died and become flesh and become man and died in the flesh for the sins of the world. So the demons believe everything, but they will not say it. They won't confess it. Are you hearing me? That's why Romans chapter 10 and verse 10 says, with the heart man believes unto righteousness, But with the mouth, confession is made unto what? Salvation. So you believe, but you must say something. Look at your neighbor, say something. Now look at them again and say, actually, say what you believe. The word salvation, of course, you know, is compound. It means not just salvation of the soul, but includes healing, it includes miracles, it includes supply and all of that. It says you believe in your heart, that gives you righteousness. But confession, that opening your mouth to say what you believe is what grants you the salvation or helps you to lay hold upon that salvation. Number two. You must be what? I said number one is what? Believing alone is not enough. Number two, you must be intentional about speaking. Now, why am I saying that? Sounds like a repetition. It means that I must make up my mind that every time I believe something, every time the light of God's word comes into my heart about something, I must confess that thing intentionally and repeatedly. Are you hearing me? There are a number of scriptures that I confess every day. Every day, every day, every day. Sometimes many times a day. And if I dare miss it, I feel like I haven't worn clothes. But I confess them every day because I'm being intentional about creating the reality of those scriptures because a revelation of those scriptures came into my heart. Are you hearing me? So when I'm reading Job chapter 1 and verse 9 and 10, it means something else entirely to me and I'm confessing it. He said, does Job fear God for nothing? So I stand and I say to God, I do not fear you for nothing. That I fear God has rewards for me. It's not for nothing. Are you hear what I'm saying? He has put a hedge around me. There's a hedge around my household. There's a hedge around everything that I have on every side. He has blessed the work of my hands. And my possessions increase in the land. Why? I caught a revelation of the fact that when you fear God, there are rewards for it. Guess who was talking in Job chapter 1 and verse 9 and 10? The devil. He was the one telling God. He said, hey, Job, you are bragging about Job. He said, fearing you is not for nothing now. There are benefits. So that devil we're afraid of, he's saying, when people fear God, there are benefits. So I say, these are the benefits. Even the devil knows. Are you with me? You've gone quiet. I said, are you there? So there are scriptures like that. There are many scriptures like that. Psalm 2, Psalm 5, verse 12, Psalm 2, verse 8, Psalm 128, sometimes Psalm 112. Are you hear what I'm saying? I go on to John chapter 6 and verse 37. I go on to Romans chapter 8 and verse 11. I'm creating the reality of those things when I speak them out. I'm speaking them so that I will see them. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Number three, create a routine. Create a routine around your confession. How is that different? I'm saying fix a time even for your confession self. Make it routine. Make it, you know, there are certain things you do routinely. Are you with me, anybody? There are those that when they wake up, the first thing is what? Brush your teeth. How many people? First is brush your teeth before anything, before nobody. Okay. Yes. One person. First thing is brush your teeth. Then you can start praying because you don't want your mouth to smell to yourself even when you're praying. You know. But certain things, you just develop a routine around them. You may not even understand why or how come you have that routine, but you have a routine. And what the routine does is that it ensures that you do it. You hardly miss it. I'm saying create a routine around your confessions. Dodie Austin is the mother of Joel Austin and wife of late Pastor John Austin. But many people know Joel. I always say John was my favorite. fantastic pastor, fantastic, you know, and Dodie had cancer. In fact, shocker that John died before Dodie. But Dodie had cancer. And she stood balanced, had everything, sought medical care. She has a whole book on it all. Fantastic. I think fantastically balanced book, just like Betty Price has a book on her own experience as well. Beautiful books. But then the one thing I'm going to tonight is that she said one of the scriptures she stood on was John 10:10. He said, "The thief cometh not, but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I am come." Jesus was speaking there. He said that you might have life and have it abundantly. One says that you might have life, and I mean real life. She said, and that was one of the scriptures she stood on and was confessing. She said, and one of the things that she will do, apart from the regular morning or whatever time she confessed, she said every time she looked at the clock and it was about 10 minutes past 10, she would say, John 10:10 says. Are you with me? Create a routine. Create a routine around your confession. One of my favorite teachers on that matter is late Novel Ace. And Novel Ace will teach confession, you have to say it. You know, Jesus said, if you say to this mountain, not speak about the mountain, but speak to the mountain, be thou removed. So you have to speak. So sometimes you are faced with things, and you have to keep speaking to it. Hear me, hear me, hear me, hear me. Leg pain, hear me. You are gone in Jesus' name. Hear me, you are gone in Jesus. You have to speak it. Are you there? Said there was a lady he was teaching. And the lady had liver cancer and also wanted a baby. She had been given it just less than 6 months to live. And Novelis taught her, speak God's word. And he said about a year or so later, he was back in that city, and the lady came, had a baby, you know, and showed him, this is me. And he said, what happened? And he said, I did exactly what you said. I will confess it every night, and confess every night the scriptures, and stand and speak to the cancer. Cancer, you have to leave. You have to die, cancer. You can't be here. He said, and I will speak it. He said, were there any days you were tired? He said, yes, some days I was tired and I just want to go to bed. And my husband would say, no. No. Novel says you have to make the confessions. He said, and I'll have to get up again. And when I start, I'll feel refreshed and I will continue and I'll do it. And he said, how long did you do it for? The lady said, I did it every day, many times a day for 8 months. That 8 months, I started feeling different. She said, but it wasn't until 12 months that I went and the doctors looked and checked me out. And they said, woman, what happened to you? You have a new liver. Are you with me? But she did it consistently for 8 months before she even felt any different. And still continued that way even after she felt any different. Until the 12th month when they said, you have a new liver. And then she went on with her confessions and went on to have 2 children. Are you still there? The source is the sustenance. So, my whole intention in wrapping up is that when you understand that fact, then you will handle God's word the way Pastor NY will handle his computer. Abi, so that's his tool. So when he's handling it, he's trying to get something done. You will handle it the way the carpenter handles his nail and the hammer. You will hold that word and know that this is a tool for creating my realities. Why? Because all things were made by that same word. And we saw from Colossians 1, that whether it is visible, not visible, above the earth, underneath the earth, whether it is even principalities and powers, everything was made by the word, and everything holds together by the word. Are you there? So yes, back. I thought, oh, You have TB. Bad x-ray, terrible x-ray. I was going to do a postgraduate degree in the university in Ibadan. So you have to do the medicals. So I went to do the medicals. I was working in a hospital. Went in my hospital, did my chest x-ray, and the doctor looked at it. In fact, the radiologist who would write the report on it just seized the x-ray. So when they showed her all the x-rays they had done, she would sit down, look at them, read them, write reports. As we call it, you read it, you write the reports. You think this is this, this is this. So when she got to mine, she seized it. And because normally you just come back to the reception and collect it and all of that. So she said, when this person comes, tell him to come and see me. This is a doctor here. I said, yes, tell him to come and see me. So when I arrived, they told me, they said, she wants to see you. So I went to see her. I said, doctor, I have TB. You know, it's bad. I said, yes, you have to do something urgently. So I went, saw my boss. I said, well, this is what report I got. She said, but you're not coughing, blah, blah. We work together every day. I don't see anything wrong with you. I said, well, but this is it, you know. She said, well, I don't see anything wrong with you, but at least I have seen something. So I got to work with my confessions. I got to work speaking God's word at it. Nothing happened. 1 year was fine. And then I was traveling to do a degree abroad. And then I arrived, and they did another chest x-ray at the airport. And they said, you have to go see a doctor. So I went to see a doctor. And the guy looked, and they tried, asked questions, did all sorts, said, you have to see a specialist. So I went to see the specialist, and the specialist looked, listened, examined, and all that, and said, this thing I'm looking at and you that I'm examining don't match. If anybody had told me that you are the one who owns that x-ray, I would say they are telling lies. He said, because that x-ray is very bad. He said, but you are here. Are you losing weight? I said, no, I'm gaining. Are you coughing? No. He said, I've also listened to your chest, you know, with your stethoscope and all that. He said, I can't, there's nothing. But the x-ray is saying something else entirely, that it's not just saying you have something, he's saying it's very bad. At that point, I knew what was happening to him. I knew the confession was working. Are you there? So he says, come back again. I came back again. They weighed me. My weight had increased. So it's not just what I told them, it's what they were saying themselves. The guy said, okay, you know what? We need you to cough up sputum, so we'll go and test. I said, I don't have anything to give you. So they had to take me and put me under anesthesia to put kidney down so that they can get some fluid. Then they did the fluid, took it to the lab, negative. So the guy sat me down. He said, look, the result also was negative. He said, now we have done everything we know to do. He said, but you're a doctor. I said, yes. He said, okay, so if I was in your shoes, I will use the drug. He said, because everything we have done says negative except that x-ray that says it's very bad. He said, but everything else has failed. Nothing shows anything, not physical examination, nothing. He said, but if I was in your shoes, I will use those drugs. He said, so what are you going to do? I said, I will use the drugs. He said, are you sure? Because of the side effects. I said, sure, I'll use the drugs. You know, he said, okay, all right, so use the drugs. You'll be seeing us periodically. You know, and I started using the drugs. Why? He was worried about the side effect. Especially somebody that is having no symptoms, he will not use it. Because once he has the side effects, he won't use it. But Mark 16. So again, I speak to the drugs. You will do nothing but good. No side effects. Why? Because Mark 16 says, if you take any deadly thing, it shall not hurt you. And this is not even poison. This is supposed to be good, except that it has bad side effects. So I speak to it, no side effects. You will only do good in my body. I took it religiously. Religiously. That is, I used it exactly as they said, religiously. No side effect for 1 day. Are you with me? The source is the sustenance. Create your reality by God's word. Speak God's word. Yeah, you face challenges, but speak God's word. Hold on to the word. Find what God has said and use it like a tool. And realize that whatever you are faced with, you can create what will be. Because everything was made by the word of God. And everything will be sustained, or is being sustained as a matter of fact, according to Colossians 1, by the word of God. Hallelujah. Stand on your feet. So, whether you are online here, I believe that God's words come to you. It's living and active and powerful. I don't know if you need prayers tonight. We've run out of time a little bit. I've gone beyond the time that I thought. But if you need prayers tonight for whatever, I'm trusting God that this will be our healthiest year. Amen. Healthiest year. Where you'll just be saying, this year I've not spent anything on treatment. This year has just been amazing. It's not as if you didn't have money to buy. It's that you didn't even need it. Is that you go through seasons that you know normally are difficult for you, but you would have passed the season before you even remember that something normally would have happened to you. And it's just, if you need prayer healing, please come. But not just that, you need a miracle of whatever sort, please come. Actually, one thing that's been roaming on my mind as we started the service was that Jesus laid hands to bless, even just to bless. The word bless means to empower to make progress. To empower to make progress. So they brought the children to him that he might lay hands upon them to bless. So sometimes the laying on of hands just brings an empowerment that propels you forward. Enables you to go forward. Enables you to break through barriers. Glorious and worthy to be praised. Your Lamb upon the throne. Our voice I'm sensing someone, it's like you have this impression of the end of the road. Almost like having dreams. Like you're trying to go and, you know, it's almost like there's no, how do you describe it? There's no way beyond a certain point. No way beyond a certain point. And that's coming at you regularly. You have dreams that interpret to you that way. Also, that there's no way beyond a certain point. That look, this is it. You are coming to the end of the road. No further. If that's you, I want to pray with you. No way beyond a certain point. You have actual dreams. You have dreams that way. Because that's what I could sense. That you actually have dreams. And they may be different slightly, but they all speak to you that you are not going beyond a certain point. That you've come to the end of the road. But Jesus said, I'm the way. I'm the way. He said, he that is in me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. He that is in me will not walk in darkness. I break the hold of that thing over you. Yeah, by the power of God. Hope comes alive. Those dreams come to an end. You see light, shining light. There's a way. There's breakthrough. There's increase. By the power of God. And in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, and even many things will happen shortly as a sign to you, as a sign to you that indeed God has turned things around. But then you'll have to hold on to God's word consequently and steadfastly. The things will happen. Things that you've given up on will turn around suddenly as a sign. But you will have to build on the word of God and not on those signs. It's the word of God that will form the firm foundation upon which you will build and build successfully. And more breakthroughs will come. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, I just hold on a little bit. I just feel God's power increase on my hand. I just feel it increase. Father, thank you. Let it flow right through him. Let the voltage increase and increase more and more. I know it's for him. And let it just flow right through him from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet. Let it transform everything. Transform everything. His thoughts, his beliefs, everything. Where he's lost hope, let hope come alive. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, Shabala Kadoso, Brados to Velediska, Brandos of Elegedesh to Brahane. Yeah, Legedegele Brosta Fredish to Brahane. Legosta brandos sufekete le brandos tofekile brandes tefelegedosta. Yeah, lebo condos of reddish tabahate. Stop praying, just receive. Legodosta brandos te fraca bandes tabrahane. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I sense a rejoicing. I sense a rejoicing. Why? Because when the Lord turned the captivity of Zion, we're like them that dreamed. We're like them that dreamed. Yeah. So shall it be. Thank you, Lord. Negedosh Tabrahane. Rabosa Brakadosh Tabrahane. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Thank you, Lord. Ready to be honest. Hallelujah. You know, drunkards don't worry about being drunk every day. They don't worry about being drunk every day. They just drink. And they come back and drink. Have you? And come back and drink. Huh? So why are you worried? He said, be not filled with wine, but be filled with the Holy Ghost. He said, the wine has excess. The Holy Ghost doesn't. That's what he says. So why are you worried? Why are you trying to be conservative with God? Why? Why? There's no excess. There's no excess. There's no excess. I know who I'm speaking to. There's no excess. So just take a drink. Just take a drink. Years ago, God said to me, you get drunk on purpose. So take a drink. Please help out. Take a drink. Lege dosta. Help out, help out, help out. Take a drink. Take a drink, yeah. Small people, take a drink. Just take a drink. It's all right. There's no excess. There's no excess. There's no excess. There's no excess. It means you can't do it too much. You can't take too much. Hallelujah. Yeah. Legedosta brande esta brasto. Yeah. Yeah. That's it. That's it. That's it. That's it. Just take a drink. That's it. That's it. That's it. I know who I'm waiting for. Just take that drink. Just take a deep breath. And there you have it. There you have it. Thank you, Lord. There you have it. There you have it. All yours. All yours. All yours. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Legedoshta. Ehe. Sekete katukutu patikete balagidis. Zombre stefa gados tekesta pri. Lengros tombra legedoshta. I actually want to close the service. I'm quite conscious of the time. Take a drink. Legedoshta brahane sefe calibros teveledishta. Legodosta Brandos, Sekela Braste Fakadi, Legle Glesto Brandeste Fakadosta Bahane. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Make Costa Brahandes to Fele Gledista Bahane. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Ola, you are entering another phase this year. Another phase this year. Where the question is, what will you do? What will you do? When you are free of encumbrances, what will you do with that freedom? How will you maximize that freedom? What will you do more than before? And how will it change? 1 Corinthians 4 verse 1 says, let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. What will you do? What will you do? Just close your eyes for a moment. Shakalabosta Brahane. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Your mighty hand on him. Position him for enlargement this year. Do what only you can do. Change everything. Turn everything around. depths in God. Sense like, you know, when they say the dam breaks, I sense a breaking of a dam and just a flow, a flow, a flow, a flow like never before by the power of God. The expectations. The expectations God has. Thank you, Lord, for your mighty hand upon him. Come stronger than ever before this year. In the name of Jesus. Take it in. That's it. Come strong on you. Take it in. Thank you, Lord Jesus. 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 Begin to thank him tonight. So we need to close. Begin to thank him tonight. Thank him tonight. I don't take anything for granted. I don't take anything for granted at all. God is good to us. He's good to us. I was thinking about it, how many people have said and testified that when I come here, I sense a peace of God. I sense the presence of God and all of. I don't take anything for granted. It may not be so. There are nicer auditoriums where people go and they don't sense anything. So that we come, we encounter him, we hear his word. He reveals his word to us in such a manner, gives us depths of his revelation knowledge. His power comes into manifestation. He does miracles, signs, and wonders amongst us. We shouldn't take it for granted. We must appreciate him. We must appreciate him at all times, always, in whatever ways. Lord, we give you thanks. Lord, we give you thanks. Lord, we give you thanks. I don't know why. Did somebody have a pain in the leg that you just took for granted and you thought there was no point coming out to be prayed for? But God's done it. God's done it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We give you all. Yeah.